When I think of a house being a home, I think of long lines at the weekend. I think of massive piles of laundry that are just waiting to be folded and put away. I think about fighting over the remote control. I think about the stacks of empty glasses and plates that sit in people's bedrooms waiting to be taken down and put into the dishwasher. I think of musical instrument practice happening in different rooms of the house and those food stains that you get on the hob from where something in a pan has kind of boiled over. Just really ordinary, messy stuff. And actually, that is what our passage today is all about. Following Jesus in the messy, everyday reality and discovering that ordinary holiness. So 6 months ago, the idea of working or learning from home might have sounded like absolute bliss to you. So writing emails from bed, taking phone calls in your pajamas, no commute, no drive to work or school, no waiting on a train, never feeling like someone was watching over your shoulder, making sure that you were doing the thing that you said you were going to do, but they just want to make sure that you're going to do it. None of that. And yet, 4 months into lockdown, I think we can all say that that isn't entirely the case. So many lines in our lives are being blurred, aren't they? So taking work calls and cooking dinner is maybe starting to overlap. Living rooms that were once your absolute comfort zone have actually become your classroom now, and so you're just stressed even thinking about going in there because that's where you've been doing all of your work. Where you want to sit on the garden patio and enjoy the sunshine or have a barbecue, a member of your family has laid out all of their gym equipment and is insisting that that is their exercise space and you can't move it, and so help you God if you're trying to practice your musical instrument whilst someone somewhere is trying to focus on something in the household and you've got about a 10-minute window in the day when you can do that. I'm literally just out of breath thinking about that. In the words of our vicar, Richard Wilson, we're all just a bit done with this. Just a bit bored, just a bit over it, just a bit ready to get back to normal. We've learned that the home isn't just for any and all of our needs. It has a purpose. It exists for the beautiful, sacred, everyday, ordinary. We are all most ourselves at home, unguarded and unfiltered, maybe a little bit grumpier than usual, maybe not smiling as much as usual, maybe not as gracious as we would be somewhere else where we feel like we kind of have to put our best foot forward. We're real. And amongst work and school activities, another adjustment during lockdown has been home turning into the place where we have to primarily, or at least maybe the only place, but at very least the primary place where we have to engage with God. So where our relationship with God once centred around services or life group meetings or conferences, it now all has to happen at home. And I wonder if for you that's been a struggle. Because our church building and our centre and our activity places and all of those other wonderful things that in their own right are a blessing and are good have maybe made us feel too comfortable in also kind of relegating our attentiveness to God to a certain time and place. And I think it's fair to say that for many of us, home hasn't always felt like somewhere where it's super necessary to be constantly aware of or engaging with God's presence. We just want to relax, we want to switch off, we don't want to think about anything. And maybe our relationship with God in the way that we're currently operating in it feels like a chore to fit in to home. But through lockdown, our hand has sort of been forced in a way. We have to engage with God's presence here somehow. We have to find a way to be in relationship with God in our homes or not at all. It's here or nowhere. This or nothing. And so I don't know about you, but like I said before, the thought of having to fit more activities and functions into the time that I spend in my living space sounds exhausting. And I'm not even a parent, so I can't imagine how you feel, because on top of writing emails where I would usually watch movies and helping a child with worksheets in the same space where I'm trying not to burn dinner, am I also being asked to carve out 30 minutes every day to gather all of the members of my household around a table or a sofa to read through the Psalms and just feel like I'm pulling teeth? In order for us to feel like somehow we're engaging with God and we're actually being Christians and having a relationship with him. Is that really what I'm supposed to take away from this passage in Acts about the early church loving Jesus and following him in their households? I would say no. And I hope that that's as much of a relief to you as it is to me when I was writing this and literally just felt like Holy Spirit was like, you can breathe, it's okay. Coming back to what we said at the beginning, it's about ordinary holiness. It's about making space for Jesus in all of the things that we're actually already doing. God doesn't want 30 minutes of you reading the Bible but not even paying attention to the words because you want to be playing FIFA. I think God wants to be sitting with you while you're playing FIFA. I think he wants you to not be able to tune out of the world so much that you can't tell that he's proud of you when your skills are getting better, or that he is like so engaged in it with you, that he's there, that he's keeping track. He wants you to recognize his presence in the things that you're already doing so that they become things that in a way you're doing together. Does that make sense? From our reading today, we learn that the early church, so the first ever Jesus-following Christians, were on a mission to love God, to share his love and his message with other people, and through all of that, to be holy. We read so much in the New Testament about holiness, and Paul talks about it so much in his letters. And I think that we tend to define holy as perfect. But that's actually not what the word means. Holy means set apart or dedicated to God. So when we talk about our homes being holy places or sacred places, it just means that they're set apart and dedicated as a space where we are staying conscious of God's presence and engaging with him in all of the things that we're doing. When I am in a room and I'm chatting with one of my brothers and my mum walks into the room, I don't necessarily just stop my conversation and make it all about my mum, although I do sometimes because I love my mum. But even as I'm talking with my brother, I've noticed that my mum walks into the room and the way that I'm talking with him slightly shifts because I'm aware of her presence and I'm aware that she's there and she's with me, and even just her presence in a room is affecting what I'm aware of, what I'm saying, and how I'm approaching my brother. Even if she's not speaking into the conversation, her presence is there and it's making an impact, and we're aware of it in the things that we're doing and saying. And I think it's the same with the Holy Spirit. That's what's so beautiful about the bit in the passage that says they broke bread in their homes praising God. I think when we hear they broke bread, we think about like communion at church, right? And like the tiny morsel of bread that you get and the tiny sip of wine and having to stand in line for ages to get to the front. But actually, breaking bread just means having dinner, just means eating together. So as they broke bread, as they ate dinner, they pulled up a chair for friends and family, for people who were with them, who shared that space with them. And they pulled up a chair, metaphorically, for Jesus. For the Holy Spirit. He's always there, so it's not really like you're inviting him into your house. He lives in your house, not in a creepy way, in a wonderful way. But he's not asking for you to let him in, he's asking for you to acknowledge his presence, to allow him to be part of your conversations, to influence the way that you're doing the stuff that you're already doing. As you're catching up on life and you're talking about news and work and school and politics and whatever else, as you're scrolling through social media, as you're folding laundry, as you're revising, as you're doing anything. He's not asking you to necessarily just stop that and turn to him and be like, right, I'm paying attention, what do you want to say? Like, he wants you to be conscious of him and bearing him in mind and recognising that he's with you in all of those things. Yes, it's absolutely important to have time that we set aside to spend praying or to spend in the Bible or to spend in silence and solitude, recognising the presence of the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. But God doesn't want just those little snippets of our day. He wants the whole thing, and especially our lives at home. Gosh, everything starts at home, doesn't it? So when Richard sent me the subject for this sermon, he included something that said, it would be great if you could include some stories about how, like, your family did worship, maybe. That would be great. And when I told my mum, she said, goodness, you are going to have to make some stuff up, because I don't know what the expectation is for a Christian family that is technically considered on mission to be doing worship together, but we're probably not it. We do not sit around the dinner table and share affirmations. We don't sing hymns together in four-part harmony. Like, we're just not that family. We're sarcastic and we have strong opinions, and any conversation turns into a debate, and we provoke one another and we disagree loudly and in many languages. And there's nothing wrong with that to an extent when it doesn't get violent. But the one thing that I can remember that I hope is relevant to this in some way is that growing up, we would sing prayers before dinner, before meals. So one of the song prayers goes, the words are, here we are together to thank God for food with, and then you'd go around and list all of the people at the table. So kind of, you know, begin with like the youngest child and then just go sort of clockwise or anti-clockwise. But before naming the people sitting around the table, we'd actually say, with Jesus and so and so and so and so and so and so. Now, of course, it was hilarious when one person started singing clockwise and the other person started singing anti-clockwise, and so it was just a jumble of names until the final, like, amen, which is just relief. But but it started with Jesus, and that's the point. Here we are together in our homes, living our regular lives in this space that is special because it's where we live with our family, but it's also where God lives with us, and it's where we are the most authentically ourselves, where our guard is down the most. And this gets to be our starting point for our relationship with God. Everything that we build from God, if it's not happening at home, we need to question whether it's really genuine in our lives or it's just another aspect of the way that we perform in society. This is the place where we get to begin doing every little bit of ordinary, real life together with one another and with him as part of the mix. So I'm going to read the first couple verses. Sorry, we have sped through. I talk very quickly, so I hope you're able to keep up. And that I wasn't too all over the shop. But I'm going to read the first couple verses from Romans 12 in the Message version, and then I'll pray for us. So I'm going to slow down a little bit here, and hopefully, even if nothing that I said got to you, hopefully Holy Spirit can be speaking to you through this bit. So this is from Paul to the Romans. This is chapter 12. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Amen. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you develops well-formed maturity in you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and just how you bring truth to life for us. So Lord, I pray that through the words that I have shared just in my own super limited ability, Lord, would you work through any part of this, and certainly through your own word, Lord, in people's hearts and in their lives, Lord, would we come to know and accept that homes are a place for us to be together and to be with you, and that that's not a pressured thing, that's not a I'm not doing well enough thing, or I need to add one more thing to my list thing, but that it's just an invitation to pull up a seat for you in whatever we're doing, Lord, to be conscious of you, to be spending time with you in the everyday. Jesus, thank you for the reminder that you are also a normal person and you did these everyday things and you managed to do them whilst you were also maintaining that relationship with your Father. So would you teach us, Holy Spirit, would you teach us Jesus's example? Would you give us strength and patience with ourselves and with our families? Yeah, would you guide us? God, you are so good. We love you so much. We are really just a hot mess without you. So would you come and fill our lives more and more? Thank you that you bring life and freedom and peace and so many good things. And and would everything that we do and say, would everything in our everyday lives, even the stuff that is exciting,